Hell is not a good place. Essentially, the point is good. It's almost like a little kid that does something bad, and you put the kid in timeout, stand next to the wall for 2 hours, 20 minutes, whatever. You know what? You're not coming with us to the movies. You're preventing the child from getting something. That's for him a big punishment, not to come on the, I don't know, the school trip, whatever. In the mind of a three-year-old, to stand 20 minutes in a corner, that's unbearable. They go crazy. But why do you do it? Because you want to educate the child. You want to bring this understanding and awareness to the child that when they do something bad, there's a consequences. Don't think things, there's, you just do whatever you want in this world and there's not going to be a reaction. The reality is a lot of people think that anything bad that happens to them, oh, God is punishing me. God is not punishing you. God is not standing in the heaven with a baseball bat and punishes people. He's the ultimate good. When something bad happens to a person, it means that he did an action and he's getting a reaction. Very simple. You take a rock now and you throw it at the window, the glass will shatter to pieces. The glass is not punishing you. The window is not punishing you. You did an action and right away you're getting a reaction and the reaction is negative. You do a positive action, the reaction will be positive. You do a negative reaction there, the reaction will be negative. So God doesn't punish anyone. God just stands from the side and looks. So a lot of people think, oh, now something bad is happening to me, God is punishing me. No, He's not punishing you. Sometimes Hashem, God, takes something away from you in order for you to want it. When you're missing something, you desire it. I left my family for 3 weeks. You know when I miss my family? When I'm not with them. When I'm next to them, the kids can drive you insane. Go two days out of the house, then you start missing your wife, your husband. Sometimes God takes something away from you so you'll want to get it, so you'll yearn it, you will miss it. Now, in essence, when a person does something bad in this world, there's a reaction. Now, if the person is smart, he's cleaning it in this world. Because when I do an action, I bring on myself a reaction, it puts this stain on my soul. Now again, like I said before, it's not going on the soul directly, it goes on the garments that my soul gets dressed in. The reason why we have physical garments, technically you could think of it, imagine the weather wasn't cold. Why do we need clothes? You know, Adam and Eve were walking naked in the Garden of Eden. After they sinned, they figured that they're naked and then they needed clothes. But let's assume now it's beautiful weather. Why do we need clothes? There's a reason why we need clothes. The clothes protect us. The clothes represent us. You know, you're not going to go to a wedding wearing a dirty tracksuit that you use to clean the house. You wear a nice dress. You fix your hair, makeup. There's a reason for that. So the soul gets dressed in these garments so it can kind of interact in this world. When I do a bad act, a sin, I put a stain on my soul. Now, if I'm smart, then I clean it in this world. If the act is real bad, like if I did something small, then the reaction will be small. But if I did something big, and we do big things, people cheat, people lie, people steal, people think that lying is, it's okay, it's normal. It's not. You know what a severe sin it is to lie? People don't understand that. You know, I always say the same story, that a couple of years ago, I came after Yom Kippur, I came home, I'm wearing my white robe, the kittel, I come home, I didn't see my wife 24 hours because I was in the synagogue praying. We sit, we have a cup of tea, and I tell my wife, no, what is your hachlata, your resolution? She tells me, I decided to do this, I decided to do that. She tells me, what is your resolution? I told her, I decided to stop lying. She tells me, you? You don't lie. I told her, oh, I lie. You know, when you're late to a meeting and you tell them, oh, don't ask, there was an accident and traffic and the car didn't start, just tell them you woke up late. That's lying. Somebody puts his hand out, can you help me? I'm hungry. If you have money in your pocket and you tell him I don't have money, don't lie. Tell him, you know what? I'm very tight myself. I can only afford a quarter. I'm sorry. If I had money, I would give you. Come to my home, I'll give you a sandwich. But most people say, no. That's lying. Now, if you're not honest with yourself, you'll never be honest with anyone. So I told my wife, I lie a lot. You know who I lie to the most? Myself. So I told my wife, I decided I'm going to stop lying. It's not easy. Try it for 1 week. Once I went to a yeshiva, and I heard the student talking to the rabbi, and telling the rabbi, I did this sin, and that sin, and this sin, and what should I do? How many times should I fast? What should I do? This and that. He was asking, how should he rectify what he did? You know what the rabbi told him? Don't lie for 1 week. That's like 1,000 times you fasting. Let's see you not lying for 1 week. So the reality is that every act that we do, a negative act, we bring on ourselves this dirt. Then you wake up, you have a wake-up call, the aha moment, and you're like, wait a minute, I want to change my way. You start repenting, you're cleaning it. Now, if a person is lucky, he cleans it while he's in this world. And if he doesn't, then when he goes up to the heavens, they're telling him, look at your garments, they're dirty. You can't walk into Gan Eden, to heaven. Now, let's say a scenario, a person was 70% good. They go to the heavenly court, not like me that I was 1%. 70%, they're weighing it out, saying, wow, you know what? You were pretty good, you have 70%, but you have 30% bad. So what do you want? Do you want 70% heaven? We'll wipe off the debt. The soul says, are you out of your mind? To give up 30% of my eternal heaven? No. So they say, okay, now you got to clean that 30%. You want to go back to the reincarnation? You want to go, where do you want to do? Now that's if the soul has a lot of merits, they're giving their souls options. You know that some souls will say, take me to hell, wash all these stains, and put me in my heaven. I don't want to go back in a reincarnation. You know why? Because I have the option of sinning again and getting war. Some souls don't have that option. Some souls, they just throw them into hell. Now, when I said before hell is good, if you're looking at it in a more broad way, a soul that's did so much things in this world, and it has this 70%, 80%, whatever, why should it lose out? So essentially, it cleans off the stains. Yes, it's painful for the soul. There's many different types of hells. But this is the good type of hell that washes you, you're done with it, you're back to where you belong, and that's it. So essentially, it's not a good place. Don't worry, you don't sit there, you know, and having margaritas in the sun. It's a bad place. You don't want to get there. You want to clean your entire soul and all your garments before you get there. You don't want to get to the place that they tell you, listen, look at these stains you have on your garments. Well, you want to come back in a reincarnation again? You want to go over there? No, I want to clean it here. That's why our sages teach us all your life you have to repent. You have to do tshuva. Not only on Yom Kippur. I don't know how people can go through an entire year, then come to the synagogue and expect they're going to remember what they did an entire year. How can you say sorry to somebody that you did something 11 months ago? You know, not too long ago, I come home, my wife tells me, by the way, I borrowed $40 from our neighbor to play the cleaning lady because I didn't have cash. So I said, go right now and pay her the $40. So she tells me, listen, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'll do it tomorrow. I told her, no, you go right now. You know why? Because tomorrow you're going to be busy and you're going to forget. And then a day will pass and another day will pass and you're going to forget because it's $40, big deal, it's with neighbors. But she's going to be upset, not about the money, but the point, you borrowed money, why aren't you paying? And every time you go in the hallway, she's going to look at you, she's going to be upset, you're going to forget. And you think you're going to remember to do tshuva for that, to repent for that? No. What's $40? Big deal, you know? I told her, you do it right now. And a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. How can you do tshuva on Yom Kippur, what you did? I don't remember what I did a week ago. So our sages teach us, you don't only do tshuva every Yom Kippur, you do every month, today on your Rosh Chodesh. You do tshuva for the entire month. And every Friday, you do tshuva, you repent for the entire week. And every night, when you're saying the prayer before you go to sleep, you do tshuva for the same day. And some people take a note and they write. Why? Because the next day I can apologize right away. And sometimes you lose your temper, you scream at your husband, the next day you can say, yesterday, I was wrong, I'm sorry. and you borrowed a dollar from somebody, the next day, come here, here's the dollar, thank you so much. So if you live in a system that you constantly monitor your behavior, then you come up there, there's no stains.